The government has come to an agreement on electricity price increases, which will come into effect in April. Prices will go up for all users except for agricultural and fishery companies, schools and social welfare groups. Electricity rates for homes and small businesses will see prices go up in progressive brackets of between 3 and 10%, depending on consumption.
Industrial users will see prices jump by anywhere from 15 to 25%. Let's hear from the Economics Ministry.
The rates will be raised in progressive tiers. That is to say, if you consume more than 1,000 kilowatt hours, that doesn't mean that the price of all of them will go up by 10%. Only the kilowatt hours you consume past the first 1,000 will cost 10% more. If you conserve energy, you can avoid paying the higher rates. The increases should have been set at levels that the industry can accept. This outcome is hard to swallow. Frankly, the industrial sector is bearing the full burden of the higher rates. For us, prices will go up by 15% on average, and even up to 25%. This will impact the competitiveness of big enterprises.
Electricity rates will go up by an average of 11%, with the average price per kilowatt hour coming to 3.45 NT. Amid concerns that higher prices could fuel inflation, the central bank on Thursday announced an increase to interest rates of 12.5 basic points. Ahead of his inauguration on May 20th, President-elect Lai Ching-te is visiting various local industries. On Friday, he paid a visit to UAV AI Innovation Application R&D Center in Jiayi, where he met with drone industry players.
Lai noted that national defense and the economy are two pillars that prop up the survival and development of Taiwan. He promised that he would quickly gain an understanding of matters relating to Taiwan's national defense and national security, and he would also work to understand the aspirations of the industry.
Before he takes office on May 20th, President-elect Lai Ching-te is holding exchanges with local industries. He started out at the Xinji Science Park, where he met with semiconductor industry players. He then went to Jiayi County to visit the UAV AI Innovation Application R&D Center.
We hope to listen to the voices of industry players on the front lines so that industries and the government can collaborate and resolve difficulties facing business circles in a timely manner. Everyone stands together so that our industries can continue to advance and our Taiwanese companies can gain a foothold outside Taiwan. They can be deployed globally and market things to the world so that our nation is even better, more secure, and more stable.
More than 20 drone manufacturers were present, and Lai listened to them and explained his ideas. This was not only because he deeply understands that drones are widely used in various industries, but they also play an important role in national defense.
National defense and economy are two pillars that support the survival and development of the country. In order to have a seamless transition and to let the country continue to progress steadily, I will make good use of my previous time before May 20th to quickly have a grasp of matters relating to national defense and natural security.
Industry players at the meeting displayed a variety of commercial drones that can be used by the military. They also told Lai that they hope that his new government can continue to inject resources into this industry and strengthen national defense capabilities. Last month, Vice President-elect Xiaopi Kim paid a visit to this drone center, showing that both she and Lai attach great importance to the industry.
New York-based NGO Hello Taiwan has opened a new office in Taipei. The organization, which was founded by Taiwanese-American Ming Chang, is seen as a powerful promoter of people-to-people diplomacy between the U.S. and Taiwan.
Since founding the organization in 2018, Chang had always wanted to set down roots in Taiwan by establishing the NGO's headquarters here.
Whether you are a business, an artist, a scholar, or just a regular Taiwan lover, Hello Taiwan welcomes you.
Hello Taiwan is an organization founded by Ming Chang, a Taiwanese American. The group has now announced the opening of an office in Taipei.
When I founded Hello Taiwan in New York, the plan was to set up headquarters in Taiwan within 5 years. We want to grow Hello Taiwan's mission from Taiwan to the world.
I want to congratulate you all on officially opening the Taipei office of Hello Taiwan. Through your hard work and advocacy, Hello Taiwan has organized and sponsored over 100 events around the United States to educate the American people about Taiwanese culture and history.
Due to Taiwan's unique international status, there are many limits to what the country can do in an official capacity. That's where many NGOs step in. Hello Taiwan's founder Chiang has used his business connections in New York to promote people-to-people diplomacy between Taiwan and the U.S. His efforts have won support from politicians in the U.S., and it's thanks to his help that events such as art exhibitions and the Met's Taiwan Day are held.
Thanks to the founding of the Hello Taiwan office, Taiwan and the US can enjoy increasingly deeper ties between people and lawmakers. Due to Taiwan's international situation, there is no fast way for the government to link up with other governments. But with civic groups like Hello Taiwan, people connect with people first, and then governments connect later. It's a process that's very familiar to us in Taiwan, and it's also the quickest path to do so. While setting down roots in Taiwan, it can help build consensus, a sense of identity and confidence. It allows the people of Taiwan to help Taiwan.
Chiang hopes the NGO will help Taiwan have more of a global presence so that people from all over the world can appreciate what Taiwan has to offer.
On Tuesday, Hong Kong passed a new national security law referred to as Article 23, which expands the government's powers to crack down on many forms of dissent. Under the new law, people found guilty of treason, secession, incitement of rebellion, or subversion of the government can be punished with life sentences.
On Friday, DPP lawmaker Hong Shen-han held a press conference on the matter, voicing support for the people of Hong Kong. Let's hear from him.
In comparison with the National Security Law of 2020, Article 23 uses vaguer language that allows authoritarian leaders to further abuse their power. I am an artist, and I don't know what would be crossing the line. Article 23 severely restricts our freedom to create works and our freedom of speech. If I publish a book, I could be targeted. But I am just a regular person. All I do is convey my feelings about Hong Kong. But still, step by step, they are eroding our freedoms. You interviewing me means you have already committed the crime of inciting rebellion. If you don't report me now, and I am here getting interviewed, if you know my situation and don't report me, you could go to jail for 17 years, and I could be imprisoned for life. If the Hong Kong government thinks you are guilty, you are guilty.
Article 23 contains vague definitions for crimes and unclear procedures for law enforcement, which could potentially put foreign nationals at risk. Taiwan National Security Bureau head Tsai Ming-yen urges travelers heading to Hong Kong to be careful with what they say. Online comments or text messages that contain criticism of the Chinese government or China's economy could give rise to problems at the Hong Kong border. Meanwhile, Transport Minister Wang Guocai has called on the general public to avoid traveling to Hong Kong unless absolutely necessary. Now we take a look at one of Taiwan's rising orchestral conductors and his passion for cycling. Zheng Weiyong is a busy professional conductor with lots of prizes under his belt. But after a habit of working late led to health problems, he realized that something had to change.
Now he spends 15 hours a week on his bike and competes in major amateur cycling races. He says the flow state he enters while cycling is similar to how it feels to work with an orchestra.
The cyclist grips the handlebars, full steam ahead. The magnificent views all around Taiwan are part of what makes cycling a passion for Zheng Weiyong. His career as conductor is hectic, but he spends at least 15 hours a week training on the bike, maintaining his physical and mental health. In October 2023, he rode up to Wuling Pass on Mount Hehuan, winning the amateur trophy in the Taiwan KOM Challenge.
169号曾伟庸，曾伟庸指挥家曾伟庸。Along
the way, he rode with fellow cyclists from many different walks of life, which spurred him on his way. He says that all the time spent alone in the saddle helps him to get to know himself better and provides inspiration for his creative work.
It feels like when you're up against a great piece of art. How shall I interpret this orchestral piece? It's like when I'm cycling and I think, how shall I interpret this competition? So it's very interesting. When you're writing, it's like you're also conducting.
Whether it's a conductor's baton or handlebars in his hands, in the auditorium or rolling down a highway in the wind, conducting and cycling are one for Zeng.
When
we travel to perform in townships all over the country, they've got to take their cellos. I only need to take my baton, so I can take my bike along. They have the cellos and I have my bike.
Years ago, Zeng frequently worked late into the night and didn't prioritize his health. That once led to disaster in an important international competition. It was a big wake-up call for Zeng. He spent prize money from conducting on a bike that cost over 200,000 NT and began to train every day. He realized that cycling brings him into a flow state, which is good for his health and, he says, brings him spiritual energy.
Cycling is very solitary. When you face a tough training session or a difficult competition, you need enormous willpower to confront yourself. And it's the same with conducting. When you face the orchestra, you're alone with the score. It's a conversation with yourself.
When he takes off his trainers and dons his suit, he's ready to conduct another performance that's full of life.
Taiwan shares closed at a new high of 20,228 points on Friday, despite the central bank hiking key interest rates one day earlier. The record-breaking close comes after three consecutive days of gains on Wall Street, which have given impetus to Taiwan shares.
In contrast, the 00939 ETF, which debuted on Wednesday, has seen three straight days of losses. On Friday, the instrument shed 0.47% to close at 14.92 NT. Governor Yang Jinglong says Taiwan's bullish stock market is in a similar situation to major stock markets like Wall Street. That is, only a handful of stocks are driving growth. Speaking on the recent craze and high optimism surrounding ETFs in Taiwan, Yang warned against hoarding. He advised investors to come up with an investment strategy that suits their needs instead of blindly following what others do. Pacific leaders are on high alert after U.S. scientists warned that the world is nearing a historic mass coral bleaching brought on by high water temperatures fueled by climate change.
However, the president of Palau says the situation isn't hopeless, as corals can be resilient. Voice of America's Jessica Stone reports.
Australia's Great Barrier Reef, typically an underwater rainbow of color, now parts of it are a spotted canvas of white. It's called a coral bleach, a symptom of soaring ocean temperatures that can lead to the death of a reef and the species who live there.
Marine heat waves are unfortunately increasing in frequency, magnitude, and severity. And this is directly a result of climate change and global warming.
The high levels of heat stress mapped in 2023 prompted the United States National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, to update its coral bleaching alert maps. In December, NOAA added three new levels, with level 5 predicting near-complete mortality for reefs. Marine ecologist Manzello says the world is on the brink of a historic coral mass bleaching event, the fourth in history. Species like tuna, a key food source and top export here in American Samoa. Manzello says he's already helping the U.S. territory monitor the worst-hit reefs in their waters.
You know, coral reefs provide a lot of protein, in particular for places like the Pacific Islands, where you have communities that are wholly dependent on the fisheries.
Palau's president, Surungal Whips Jr., though, says the situation isn't hopeless and that corals can be resilient.
Every time we've had a coral bleaching event, some of those species have come back. We're just hoping that this event is not too widespread and too destructive.
Alan Friedlander, the chief scientist at National Geographic's Pristine Seas Project, says Palau, the Marshall Islands, and parts of Kiribati possess what's called super reefs, corals that recover more quickly from bleaching than other reefs.
These quote-unquote super reefs are areas that should be set aside for protection because they could be the seed bank for other places that have been impacted.
Absent that, they say, it can take between 12 and 15 years for these ecological treasures to return to health. Jessica Stone, VOA News.
Today we take you to meet Romanian artist Anna Maria Misu. She is currently exhibiting over 20 of her newest creations in Taipei.
Her works include paintings, sketches, murals, and even animations. Our very own Stephanie Yang takes us in for a look.
Many paintings we see here are of the plants inside artist Anna Maria Miku's home studio. It is both her living and creative space. Besides paintings, she also made an erasure animation, which is an artistic technique that uses traditional two-dimensional images photographed over time.
The first image that starts this series is about me crawling from an enclosure, place of comfort, and I absolutely must get out of there in order to follow my dreams, you know, and do what I want to do.
The themes of her latest exhibition in Taiwan are scaffolding and coexisting with nature. Her works are inspired by the life of Italian sculptor and painter Michelangelo.
Scaffolding comes from this lingering memory that I have of watching many, many years ago the movie The Agony and the Ecstasy, which portrays the life of Michelangelo. I remember the difficulty that he had to face to climb the wood scaffolding that was constructed for him and paint on the ceiling. Personal message from the exhibition is that you should somehow overcome the limitations of your situation.
Miku is a visual artist from Romania. She graduated with a Master of Fine Arts from the University of Arts and Design of Cluj-Napoca in Romania. This is Miku's fourth exhibition in Taipei.
I did a mural here on site. It's about the idea of expansion, also about providing a background for an existing painting that I did at home in my studio. We are thinking that the installation is immersive and the viewers could experience some sort of feelings in front of it, and I'm hoping that they will come and see.
Miku's solo exhibit will be held at the Mindset Art Center till April 27th. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Yan Kai in Taipei.
South Korean cheerleading star Lee Da-hae has left the Rakuten Monkeys to join the Wei Chen Dragons. That means she'll reunite with popular Taiwanese cheerleader Mizuki Lin, another dragon beauty that once used to be in the Monkees.
In addition, Lee is set to release a new single at the end of March through YG Select, a subsidiary of YG Entertainment, which manages K-pop girl group Blackpink.
现在我要开始实现那个梦想了，尽管我对现在的生活很满意，但还是想挑战一下。
In her newest video, South Korean cheerleader Lee Da-hae speaks in Chinese as she says she has just begun to realize her dreams. Before the start of the upcoming baseball season, the Rakuten Monkees announced on Friday morning that Lee would be leaving their ranks. Just a few hours later at noon, the Wei Chen Dragons announced she would be joining them. Love so good, I bet he'd be catching up. Li first came to Taiwan in April last year and made history by being the first South Korean cheerleader to be based in Taiwan with a CPBL team. Since then, ticket sales for Rakuten Monkey Games have averaged more than 7,000 per game. Her charm won over all of Taiwan. She's been a spokesperson for more than 10 companies, and it's said that she's paid a six-digit sum for each appearance on the baseball field, encouraging other foreign cheerleaders to seek a career in Taiwan. Li studied Chinese at college and has a solid foundation in the language, leading to continual invitations to appear on Taiwanese TV programs. Now it's also being confirmed that at the end of March, she'll release a new single through YG Select, a subsidiary of YG Entertainment that manages K-pop girl group Blackpink. Her career is now spanning sports and entertainment circles. Li's move to the Weichuan Dragons means that Taiwan's cheerleader Mizuki Lin, who recently announced she was also joining the Dragons, will be Lin's colleague once again. Their reunion in the ranks of the Dragons has become a focus of fans' attention.